gentlemen, this is Ed Bousman, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, I am the light of the world. He that believeth on me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It is written, and they went every man unto his own house. But Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. It is written, and early in the morning he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees bring to him a woman taken in adultery, and having set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman hath been taken in adultery, in the very act. Now in the law Moses commanded us to stone such. What then sayest thou of her? And this they said, trying him, that they might have whereof to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Christ does not save men by his life, though that was wholly sinless, pure, or even by his endless love, though that shall evermore endure. He does not save them by his words, though they shall never pass away, nor by his vast creative power that holds the elements in sway. He does not save them by his works, though he was ever doing good. The awful need was greater still, it took his death, his cross, his blood. Men preach today a crossless Christ, a strengthless Savior, vague and dim. They will not see their sinful state. They will not own their need of him. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from John chapter 8, what Jesus wrote. The scribes and the Pharisees had brought a woman to Jesus who had been taken in adultery and set her in the midst. They wanted to be sure the charge would not be considered hearsay, so they told the Lord they had caught her in the very act. They reminded Jesus that Moses had said that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou of her? Now they did not bring this woman to Jesus to uphold the law of Moses. They brought her to put down Christ. Actually, Moses said more than the quotation they used. In Deuteronomy 22, Moses said, If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. The Pharisees had forgotten something in this matter. They forgot the woman. But where was the man? For one thing, he may have run away before the arrest was made. Another reason might have been he may have been a very important man who had a lot of clout, and they were afraid to involve him. Or it may have been for the same reason today when the woman is usually blamed in such matters. The lawyers for the defense of the assailant would ask the victim, how was she dressed? Was she, according to the Hollywood style, showing too much? in which case the jury will usually find the victim guilty. This question put Jesus, so they thought, in an awkward position. If he said, "Stone her," he would be in trouble with the Romans for taking the law in his own hands. If he said, "Let her go," he would be in trouble with the Jews for going against the law of Moses. Now you have heard the reading of the Scripture, so here are several observations about this event. First, Jesus seems to ignore the charge of the Pharisees. Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground. It looked like he was ignoring the charge made against the woman, and also the arrogance and self-righteousness of the Pharisees. Sometimes he may seem to ignore a great many of the injustices today. It appears that Jesus is ignoring 9/11. He seems to ignore hurricanes such as Katrina, same-sex marriages. Is he also ignoring the millions of babies slain by abortion? He seems to ignore the drug traffic, the burning of church buildings in many parts of the world, the sexual abuse of children, the removal of prayer from the school system, and a thousand other travesties. But ladies and gentlemen, the day will come when he will rise up in judgment. He will not ignore the transgressions of sinners forever. So when they continued asking, "What seest thou of her? What seest thou of her? What seest thou of her? What seest thou of her?" he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Consider now that he stooped down and wrote twice. He not only stooped and wrote with his finger on the ground once, but he stooped and wrote with his finger on the ground twice. This was not the first time that the Lord had written with his finger. At the farewell address of Moses, he reminded the Israelites that the Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God. When Moses received the Ten Commandments written by the finger of God, he threw them down and broke all Ten Commandments at the same time because of the debacle of the golden calf. During his farewell address, he reminded Israel that God had made another set of the Ten Commandments. Jesus wrote with his finger twice when he gave the Ten Commandments. And he wrote with his finger twice, in this event with the woman taken in adultery. He wrote twice also when he gave us his word. First he wrote the Old Testament, and then he wrote the New Testament. I don't know who wrote these lines, but they tell it like it is. He wrote on the ground when the Pharisees came, accusing the woman with wild words of blame. No sign did he give, no wisdom profound, as he wrote on the ground. He stooped as he wrote, and his eyes mild that shone with love for the sinner as he stooped all alone. Not one man remained in the silence that smote. He stooped as he wrote. Next we see when he rose up the first time, he gave an unexpected answer. They thought he could only give two answers. He could say, "Stone her," or "Not stone her." His answer fooled them. It was completely unexpected. And ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord rises up in judgment on that great day, there may be a very great many unexpected answers. And like these Pharisees, there will be no comeback, no argument. His judgment will be final. There will be some unexpected answers on such questions as, "What must I do to be saved? What are the scriptural officers of the church? What is the correct mode of baptism? What is the purpose of baptism? Is the Lord's Day the proper day to observe the Lord's Supper? Should the Lord's Supper be observed every Lord's Day? Is the Bible the inspired Word of God? His answers on that day may be unexpected. Whatever the answers given as the Lord rises up in judgment will be final. No questions will be asked and no rebuttal given. And they, when they heard it, went out one by one from the eldest to the youngest. On that day when Jesus rises up in judgment, there will be no walking away as the Pharisees did. The unexpected answer was no condemnation. You see, Jesus lifted up himself the second time and said unto her, Woman, where are they? Did no man accuse thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way. From henceforth sin no more. Now it must not be overlooked that Jesus did not condone what she had done. He did not say, Now what you did is not all that bad, so don't worry about it. He told her, Don't do it any more. He did not say, Go and sin no more, and I will not condemn you. He said, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. 3 chapters before this, in the story of the healing of the man who was crippled for 38 years, Jesus told him, Sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to thee. In both cases, repentance from the sin was demanded. Paul instructs us in Romans 6, Let not sin reign in your mortal body. In Christ, we have another chance. Don't let the devil reign. Don't let him have his way. There is a comforting word given by Paul when he said in Romans 8, There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Another word of comfort in 2 Timothy when Paul reminds us, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Someone has written these inspiring lines. How I wish that there was some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our mistakes and all our heartaches and all our poor selfish griefs could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never put on again. Ladies and gentlemen, in Christ there is such a place where we can begin all over again. In Jesus we do have another chance. Neither do I condemn thee, go thy way, and sin no more. Now think of the irony of this situation. These scribes and Pharisees did this woman the biggest favor they could do for anybody. They brought this woman, who was a great sinner, to the Lord Jesus for condemnation, and she was forgiven instead. I wonder if this woman ever wrote the Pharisees a thank you note for the great blessing they had conferred on her. Wow! But then consider who is the real judge, not only in her situation, but in ours as well. The Lord did not say she should not be stoned. He merely pointed out that the ones doing the stoning should not be guilty of sin themselves. There is only one who can judge our eternal destiny. That one is Jesus. So consider next the real judge. Jesus is the only one who can judge our eternal destiny, because Paul said on Mars Hill that God had appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all the nations in that he hath raised him from the dead. Only Christ can judge in righteousness by virtue of the fact of his death, burial, and resurrection. The only one who can pass final judgment on the human race is the one who lived on this planet and never sinned. Jesus said in John 5, "All judgment hath been given unto the Son, that all may honor the Son even as they honor the Father." Not only did Jesus say that all judgment was given to him and no one else, he even gives us the time and place where he will do the judging. He said in John 12, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word which I spake unto him, the same shall judge him at the last day." Paul instructs us in 1 Corinthians 4, "Judge nothing before the time until the Lord come." It is not for us to say this person or that person is going to hell, or this person or that person is going to heaven as far as that goes. The Lord will make the call on the judgment day, and not even he will make it until the last day. Jesus wrote on the ground. Now, next, it should be noticed, he is still writing today. Actually, the scripture does indicate that the Lord is writing in Jeremiah 17:1. We know he writes down sins with his finger. However, Jeremiah says he uses an iron pen with a diamond point and writes them on the tables of the heart. But in addition to that, Jeremiah says in verse 13 that God is writing the names of those that depart from him in the earth. Jeremiah says, "They that depart from me I will write in the earth," or the dust. This may be a hint that Jesus wrote the name that day of each accuser in the dust. "Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." What an absurd situation. Men who are made of dust, debating here with the eternal Son of God. Then we must also note that he writes down sins in the book. In Revelation 20, we read that on the judgment day, the books will be opened, and everyone shall be judged according to things that are written in the books. Twice in Revelation, Jesus refers to the names written in the book of life. "And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire." And again, in reference to the saved, he said, "Only they whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." The song says it for us. "Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom with its page white and fair, tell me, Jesus, O Savior, is my name written there?" Jesus wrote with his finger on the ground. However, the best of all is, we do know of something he certainly did write. My guess is that people are more concerned today about the unknown message he wrote with his finger on the ground than they are with what we know he wrote through the inspired writers in the Word of God. If those words he wrote in the dust could have been preserved and found by the archaeologists today, that document would be priceless. All the world would wait with bated breath to hear what he wrote. What did he write? What did he write? What did he write? We can be sure of one thing about that message he wrote on the ground with his finger. That message on the ground would not contain any information about our salvation that we do not already have in the New Testament. Peter tells us in his second epistle that God's divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. And John reminds us that these things are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in his name. Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely furnished unto every good work. And again in Galatians, he makes known to you the gospel as was preached by me. He is not after man, neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it. But it came to me by a revelation of Jesus Christ. And then this warning of Paul. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. And not only did he say that once, but he repeated it in Galatians chapter 1. Every bit of information we need to have about salvation in heaven and how to get there is contained in the New Testament. Some may trample what he wrote underfoot, like the multitudes trampled underfoot what he wrote that day, while others may use a more popular device and say, what he says is all a matter of interpretation. However, whatever method you take to circumvent the Word of God, you will come face to face with that Bible you never read again. Ignore the Bible, pay no attention to it, don't read it, throw it away, but remember, Jesus said in his Word, the word which I spake unto them, the same shall judge them at the last day. We will all come face to face with that Bible that some ignore on that day. Ladies and gentlemen, I have not been subpoenaed to sit on the throne of judgment, but I have been subpoenaed to sit in the chair of the witness and testify to what the Word of God says. As to the terms of pardon, here is my testimony. I have read in the second chapter of the book of Acts where Peter told of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and then told the inquiring thousands, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I read the words of Jesus according to Mark. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I'll leave those words as they are without comment. And we will all face those words again at the day of judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, here is a sobering thought. After the second writing, Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. Here is a great sinner standing alone, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, just the two of them. The day will come when every mortal will be in the same situation, face to face with Jesus on the day of judgment. While all the dead shall be raised, let no one think you will be lost in the assembly of the billions who have ever lived. You see, every day we watch the news program on television. It may be that 40 million people may be watching the same news anchor as he announces the news. But it seems as though you are the only one he's speaking to at that time as you sit in your living room. In a similar way, it is not the billions who will stand in the judgment that should concern you. It will be just you and the Son of Man. His judgment will apparently be just for you. There's a big difference, however, in this woman and us. She was standing before Jesus the Savior. When we stand before him, it will be as Jesus the Judge. According to Job 31:14, what shall we do when God rises up in judgment? When he punishes us, how shall I answer him? The issues are eternal. And there will be no appeal. No appeal can be made to insanity, as is usually made in earthly courts, even though millions may feel that they must have been crazy. To have lived a lifetime on earth and had no time for matters of eternity. The book of Job asks this question, how shall I answer him when he rises up? Guilty or not guilty? How do you plead? On that day, the big question for everyone will be, when I stand before him by and by, will he be bearing all my sins? or shall I? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.